A couple of months ago, I read a really interesting novel. It's called The Immortalists. And in it, there is a person describing losses she has had in her family. And she says this: she had lost part of herself as she lost her siblings. It was like watching the power incrementally turning off throughout a neighborhood. Certain parts of her went dark, then others. Now, imagine the opposite process, in which the lights very slowly go on, one by one. A process in which the light slowly comes to places and to persons that had been dark. That light comes in, one more light turned on, every time we perform a small act of grace. Those small acts bring in that gradual light. Things like forgiving and helping others, trusting and healing. Now, our gospel today, actually all of our readings are pretty depressing. I feel like instead of the word of the Lord, we should say, have a nice day. But in the gospel, God said to our man in the parable, "You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. Rich toward God. Those three words tell us how to bring that gradual light to our own lives and to those of our neighbors. A person who is rich toward God is someone who derives all sense of self-worth through relationship with God. This is a person who derives all sense of satisfaction through living a good, just, compassionate, and moral life. This is a person who views all decisions through the lens of obeying, and glorifying God. On paper, everybody loves this idea, to be rich toward God. But in practice, it means we have to give up some habits. It means being merciful and generous, forgiving and patient with those irritating people around us. Little things keep us from being rich toward God. Little things that kind of change our attitude. I am practicing, not very successfully, but I am practicing when somebody is rude to me in traffic. I am practicing saying, "No harm." It's not what I used to say. I am trying to practice when I am inflamed by someone else's opinion to say, "No reason to contest this." Sometimes I, like many people, can be very anxious to correct a mistake so that I can prove how smart I am. And I'm practicing saying it is not productive to criticize another person. If we can practice these kinder responses instead of using our instinctive mean reactions to these things, the light gradually returns to the neighborhood. The power comes back on. Now, the gospel reading that we had today is seen generally as an indictment of the accumulation of earthly goods. I don't think it is strictly about accumulation. After all, shouldn't we prepare for our future? Shouldn't we do what we can to be economically secure? I don't think that's the major problem in this approach. I think the major problem is this attitude of anxiety, this worrying about what will happen and focusing on hedging that through earthly goods. I think this parable that Jesus told is about using the wrong lens to see life. The question is, what do we value ultimately? What has distracted our focus so that we fail to honor those true and eternal values? For this man in the story, a sense of worldly success made him forget that this life and its possessions do not last. If he were rich toward God, he would focus more on using his gifts to ease life for other people, instead of simply seeing his own abundance as a reflection of his worth or his intelligence. As the story is told, he seems to have concern only for himself. No indication is there of his willingness to share his abundance, economic or spiritual, with those who have little or nothing. This parable asks us to think about what we want and why we want it. It is teaching us the importance of being rich toward God. We become rich toward God when we focus our energy on becoming a more merciful and loving person. We have to wean ourselves, especially in today's culture, from being critical of other people. One of the commentaries says this: "It is interesting that there are two stories in Luke in which someone asks Jesus to say something or other by way of rebuke or correction to a third person. If you remember Martha and Mary a few weeks ago, and in the beginning of this gospel, Lord, will you tell my brother what he's supposed to do? In each case, Jesus addresses his rebuke or correction to the complainant. Before God, we are supposed to be confessors, not complainants. To be rich toward God is to forget what someone else is doing and what they're doing wrong and what they may have done to us, is to forget that and live in God's grace and pass that grace to others. I discovered in my decluttering, many books, but one that's called Facets of Faith, and it has an interesting point in it. It says that our age, this time, has been characterized as post-Christian. But the author said he thought instead that our time now is pre-Christian. He said the Christian spirituality we are exploring has yet to characterize any society. It is a lifestyle based on failure, not the pursuit of success. It exhibits a willing vulnerability. It is intent on mercy, not punishment. To actually live as we are called to live as Christians is to be rich toward God. And we haven't gotten there yet. Most of us see the appearance of wealth as a sign of the good life. Our culture glorifies it, but that is a way of life that cannot last and cannot endure. Now, many would say that this gospel reading is strictly about you can't take it with you. And if it were only about that, I think we would probably have this reading closer to stewardship season. Can't take it with you, why not give it to us? But we are called to be rich toward God, not just economic dimensions, but in our spiritual dimensions. We admire God, we worship God. God, but we are still pre-Christian because we don't imitate God as incarnate in Jesus. We are immersed in a system which glorifies bigger barns more than bigger hearts. We have abundance as Christian. We have Christians. We have the freely given grace of God. Knowing that we are forgiven should equip us and motivate us to forgive others, to help, to heal, to give, to forgive. We all want bigger barns, or in some cases, smaller cars. We all want to know that our future economically is secure, but following Jesus rarely brings comfort and predictability. Our lives have to change from that pre-Christian mindset for us to find what truly endures. Frames of reference have to change so that we use our abundance, again, economic and spiritual, to provide for those who have less or nothing at all. In biblical terms, those people are described as neighbor, poor, widow, orphan. In modern terms, anyone who is impoverished by not knowing God. Our neighborhood feels pretty dim right now. Each act of prejudice, greed, anger, and hurt threatens to turn out more lights. With the current trend and progression, parts of our neighborhood go dark, slowly, one by one. But if we resist answering greed with generosity, answering hurt with healing, answering anger with patience, we forego our bigger barns. And we begin turning on the lights all around us, gradually, one by one, and power returns to the neighborhood. Amen.